Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, we are really good and actually quite excited to talk to you because everyone loves their animals. Everyone loves their dogs. I love mine. And just being a bit selfish to start, Graham, I don't think she loves me.
Oh, that's a problem, isn't it?
It is. I'll walk into a room and honest to God, she will walk out. She has a little bed at the top of the stairs. In fact, she's spoiled like most dogs. She's got a bed in every room, but she's got a little bed at the top of the stairs. And when I go upstairs after the show or whatever for a wash or to get changed or anything, she will leave that spot and come back downstairs. The moment I come downstairs, she'll get off the sofa and go back up. And she looks at me with disdain, and I don't know why.
And what sort of dog is she?
She's a Jack Russell.
Oh, little Jack Russell, bless her. Well, the two things that spring to mind there is that either she's been very respectful. It's like, sorry, sir, after you, sir, this is your space, sir. Or maybe, dare I say, and I say this diplomatically, maybe she's a bit scared of you for some reason. But dogs get all sorts of ideas in the head. So, yeah, it could be that. I'll tell you what you can do is when she does hang around, on the rare occasions she does, you know, stay with you, don't be too fussy with her because you might, again, that might be a bit too much for us. She sounds like quite a timid one. I might be wrong. So I would just be, when she does what you want, i.e. hangs around, it's like, oh, good girl, oh, this is nice, but really sort of lullaby gentle, you know. So she's like, oh, actually, oh. So if I hang around with him, it's okay. All right, then, and you might get a bit more of that. But truth is, you know, some dogs just aren't. I had this as a question on the theatre show recently, actually. I've got a dog that doesn't like me. What can I do? And I'm like, do you know what? Sometimes you just get a dog who's, you know, we all think the dogs are going to wag their tails and jump and lick us all the time, but some don't, you know.
You're right, actually. The times that she does stay with me is if she's on the opposite side of the sofa and my wife's here, and she's fine. But that's the other thing. She adores my wife. She's pretty much glued to her. But she is a rescue, and you're right, she's very timid. She couldn't be with her previous owners because they live next to a busy road, and she just couldn't stand the noise.
There you go. That was the clue then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounded very much like that. And it could be as well, Simon, that you've actually done nothing wrong. It could well be that the previous owners haven't done anything wrong, but it's usually men that makes them a bit nervous, right? Because we're big, clumsy, deeper voices, and if anything's going to scare a dog, it'll be those things. So it's your sort of problem, if you like, is a version on the theme of how come the dog doesn't like me but is okay with my wife, you know, or the dog's got a problem with men, and it's just, yeah, it's just we don't mean to be, but we're a bit scary sometimes.
Yeah. Although she does love to play with me. That's all she does with me. She comes to me to play, but that's it.
Oh, well, that's okay.
That's something.
You know your place.
Yeah. So every dog, though, in your eye, is trainable.
Yeah, to some extent. I mean, you can always improve things. And with some dogs, you can make big transformations. As you see on the show, you know, dogs behaving very badly on the telly. Now, that's not to say that you can sort of make every dog perfect, because there are some times when you look and you think, you know, this is not a match made in heaven necessarily, but I'll do my best. But yeah, I mean, often I'll go into a situation where I think probably the dog's really confused. Everybody's sent out the wrong signals. And as soon as we make it clear, the penny drops and the dog's like, okay, oh, cool, right, I'll do this then. You know, and that's where you get those sort of, I can't believe it, the dog's not done this for 2 years kind of moments.
How did you discover you had this talent?
That's a good question. I had a couple of Rottweilers. I didn't grow up with dogs. Mum and Dad were busy people, you know, they were working. And it was just a case of, look, we can't have a dog. So my first dogs of my own were aged about 40. I was age 40. So two Rotties, and I thought, right, these dogs have just got to be immaculate, really. They're big, powerful dogs, and they've got the potential to scare people, you know. Not that they would intend to. So I threw myself into dog training as a hobby, yeah, and just discovered that, oh, well, so, seems like I have a knack for this. So I bit the bullet and turned it into my work, you know.
And now you've got a whole TV show about it. How did that come about?
Ah, well, they found me. So I started off where I was, although I'm from Yorkshire originally, I was living in the Northampton area. And so I was a local dog trainer for a bit. Then it started to get a bit wider afield. People asked me if I could travel a bit further. I'm like, yeah, sure. So I was already sort of traveling pretty much nationwide. And yeah, the phone went one day and it was the TV producers. And they said, look, we've got this idea that we might want to do a show, perhaps following round a dog trainer, stroke behaviourist, you know. Why don't you come and have a chat to us? So they invited me down to London and, well, long story short, is half an hour later, the boss said, okay, let's spend some money. And that was it. We had a pilot for a TV show.
It sounds like it's been a bit of a whirlwind. We'll learn more, as can you, when Graham comes to the Alive Corn Exchange in Lynn, Wednesday, 8th of June.
The tour's been sort of ongoing since April. But this is the only gig we're doing in Norfolk. We were down in Suffolk. I should probably not mention Suffolk, should I, when we're in Norfolk. I know about the rivalries. So yeah, first half for the show, basically, if you've ever watched me on the telly and thought, how's that guy doing? I'll go through my 3.5 golden rules, as I call them, and we'll play some clips from the show. I'll let you into a few little secret stories, things that never made it to your screen. It's all good fun. But the second half is all live Q&A, unusually. So it's true to say that when I come back out after the interval, I literally don't know what's going to happen in the next hour because it's all down to the audience, which is all good fun.
How have you found it on stage? Spotlight on you. You know, you're not a pop star. You're not a comedian.
No, you're right. It is interesting. I mean, this show is Bismalaki is new to me. Well, Sally was new to me not so very long ago. Yeah, the weirdest thing to get used to is you're absolutely right. When you're on a stage, you can, if you're lucky, you can see the front row. The lights are very much on you, and you're just talking to this great big black abyss. But do you know what? The audiences have been lovely. I mean, they're all dog lovers, you know, all there to have a good night, to learn a thing or two, and have a bit of a laugh, you know. So yeah, no, it's been great. Quite a buzz, actually. And I think, you know, I'm meeting audiences at the end because I hang around and, you know, it's if you've got a book you want me to sign or whatever, I'll hang around for half an hour, have a chat. And yeah, people are sort of saying, well, that was funny. We had a few laughs and, you know, we learned a few things that we never knew before. So I think, well, if I've ticked those two boxes, you know, that's good. So yeah, so come and join us.
Has there ever been a dog then that you couldn't crack?
Oh, that's a good question. Yes, it's you might be surprised to hear. I've always said that the sort of strap line, if you like, has always been any dog, any age and any problem. And what that means is I'll take anything on. So I'm not one of these people who sort of says, oh, no, I can't deal with that. But with that comes a sort of promise that I'll do my best. Now, it doesn't mean I can automatically fix them like a magic wand, you know. And I went to see a dog over West Midlands way. It was about 5 years ago now, and he was a German Shepherd. They'd only just rehomed him, and he was quite a handful. I got to the front door, the door furniture, the letterbox bit was missing because he'd ripped it out of the door in his attempts to get to the postman. Yeah, I know. So I was like, oh, here we go. So you knock on the door and go, blimey. Long story short, by the time I got in, I'd met him for, I'd seen him for about 3 seconds when he bit me hand really quite badly. So his tooth went, you know, right in. And I won't give you too much detail because you might still be finishing your breakfast. And then the owner, as a knee-jerk reaction, sort of pulled on the lead really hard. And, of course, that just ripped it out of my hand. So off to hospital and... And the consultant said, the A&E consultant fella said, you're not going home tonight, young man. You're going to go to theatre. I'm like, no, really? So, yeah. So they stitched me back together again and I'm all right now. So yeah, there are times when and we didn't know anything about that dog's history. He might have been abused or all sorts. So, but there are certainly times when you look at something and you think, do you know what? This might not be a match made in heaven. I mean, that particular dog, the week before I'd been there, they'd had a friend round with their baby daughter, you know, and it's just like, oh, do you know what? That's not going to work, is it, in your environment? There's no point giving them sort of false hope. So there you go.
And what about your greatest success then on the flip side of that?
Oh, that's a good one. You see most of them on the telly, I've got to say, because there are times when I go to something and I think, oh, this is going to be hard work, and it turns out to be easy, and vice versa. You know, if there's one thing I've learned about dogs through all the years and 5,000 dogs, it's that you never guarantee anything. So some of the best ones have been where I've been quite worried about it, you know, and I arrive thinking, oh, I don't know how this is going to go, you know, the TV cameras are on us, you know, I've really got to get a result here. And it's just been brilliant. So one of the ones we're talking about on the tour, actually, was a Border Terrier called Bonzo, who was only a puppy, but he was terrifying one of the owners because he was biting him all the time. And the guy had got himself in a bit of a tizzy running away. And all I did was get the owner, Jason, his name was, just to stand steady and not fling his arms around and all those things. And the dog just, that was like a magic wand, you know. And I remember the guy saying, I can't believe it. And I'm like, no, I'm pleasantly surprised myself.
And it's not dogs, though, that are beyond hope necessarily, is it? Sometimes it's the owners, do you think?
Well, yeah, there is a bit of that. When I first started this, a dog trainer who's really experienced said to me, you can only fix the dogs through the owners, of course. Because, you know, once you've gone, it's that interaction between owners and dogs, you know. But, I mean, a lot of people end up saying to me these days, oh, it's always the owner's fault. And I'm like, well, I'm not judgmental, you know, because a lot of people mean well, they're trying to do their best, but they've got a really tricky customer in terms of the dog. So it's just, yeah, you're getting this wrong, but let me explain and we'll get you on the right track. But yes, there are times when you think, oh, yeah, I'm going to struggle with you, not your dog.
Here's a quick one for you. Kez has just sent a message. He's got a whippet who helps himself to the bin. Nice. There are several bins, but he always manages to work out how to get them. He'll empty the bin and hide the food, despite being fed like a king. They call him a whoppet, not a whippet. What can they
Very
do?
Very good. I'll tell you about a dog called Whoppet, actually. It's Donald Campbell, the famous land speed record breaker from the 60s.
Fastest man on earth, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. He had a Labrador called Whoppet. The answer to that one is you need to do it as a bit of a setup, right? So, you know that thing when you thought your mum had eyes in the back of her head and then you've done something, it's like, how does she know I did that? Right? And then you're a bit nervous from then on, right? So you want your dog to be a bit like that. So put the bin where it is. Pretend not to be watching, right? And if you happen to have a well-placed mirror or window that you can keep an eye on the dog, so much the better. And then when he goes towards it, it's tone of voice, really. So it's like, ah, no. And if he goes, oh, blimey, and he backs off, this is the key bit, he backs off, you go, oh, good boy. And then you appear and maybe give him a treat. So what you're teaching him is, if you go towards the bin, I could appear from nowhere, uncomfortable that. But if you back off, step away from the bin, right?
Yeah.
And then good things happen. So, and then on top of that, you can put a leave it command. And then you're training him. Yeah, if you're thinking of the bin, don't, because there'll be something better in it for you if you back off. But you've just got to get your timing right, that's all.
There you go, Kez. Fantastic. Yeah. And if you need some help from Graham, the dog father from Channel 5's Dogs Behaving Very Badly, he's at the Alive Corn Exchange Wednesday, 8th of June. Just sum up the show for us, Graham.
Well, it's a combination of how I do it, a little bit of the dog psychology stuff, which sounds boring, but actually we have a lot of fun explaining it and putting it into real life situations. But the big, big deal, unlike any other show you've ever been to, really, is the whole of the second half is down to you. Ask me questions, you know, you can tweet me a question, you can write it on a bit of paper, and I'll go through your questions in the second half. So, come along and ask me a question.
It's going to be a great night, Wednesday, 8th of June, and the Channel 5 show, of course, continues Dogs Behaving Very Badly. Do you know the only way we discovered that? We were flicking through the channels one day, and my dog, and I maybe you can answer this very quickly, my dog loves other dogs on the telly, whereas my dog beforehand didn't have the slightest bit of interest, but Millie will sit staring at the telly. So we literally have a note on the planner, for Millie. We watch it because Millie likes it.
Hey, that's all right. Oh, well, that's fine by me. Usually we get the opposite. The dog barks and barks to get rid of the dog on the telly. But if she likes watching them, that's all good.
The Dog Father Live, Graham Hall. Wednesday, 8th of June. You can get tickets now, 764-864, or find the link via our website, radiowestnorfolk.co.uk. Have a great day, Graham.
Cheers, mate. Thanks for having me on.